Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. If you got your Bibles, open them up to the passage Monty just read, Proverbs 31. Welcome. Good to have you here. And to all the mothers that are here with us this morning, happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a blessed day. Hope you enjoy and get to spend some time with your family. Being Mother's Day, I'm going to bring a message on mothers. And years ago, I had a lady came up to me on Mother's Day, and she said, "I just absolutely hate Mother's Day." I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Well, I've chosen not to have children." And she said, "And every Sunday on Mother's Day, I get to go to church and listen to a sermon on mothers." And I said, "Well, I'm in the same boat you're in, but," I said, "just hang in there with me." Well, I said, "We'll make it, I promise you." But it's Mother's Day, and so we're going to just focus on the moms today. If you're not a mom, there are some principles in here that will apply to you and even for the guys. Because what I'm going to do in this passage is we're going to look at what are some of the character traits of a godly mother. And those character traits will fit a man and they will fit a child. They'll fit a woman, whether she's married or unmarried. Because what I'm going to do with this proverbial text is pull out the truths that are buried in it. The way I look at Proverbs is wisdom scripture, is what it is. And wisdom scripture is meant to give us guidance in life, okay? So as we look at this passage of scripture, we're going to look for the proverbial wisdom, the day-to-day wisdom that is hidden in the text here before us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin, okay? Father God, we come before you and thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your love, your grace in our life. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers and how much they mean to us and how important they are, not just to us individually, but to our very nation, Lord, how important a position they play in the lives of so many. And we just pray, God, that they'd be blessed today. Father, I pray especially for those mothers who have lost sons in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I pray for them, Lord, that you comfort them on this Mother's Day and that you would minister in their hearts and in their lives, Lord, as they go through a time and suffer loss of a loved one such as that. And just pray, God, that your grace be upon them. And Father, as we look at your scriptures today, just help us focus upon your word. Help us draw from your word those things that we can apply to our lives, Lord, that we could be better as a result of it. For Father, we thank you, we praise you for all you've done. We ask this of you in Christ Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. We're going to focus primarily on 10 through 31, but I want you to take a look at verse 1. And what this little proverbial passage is dealing with, it's dealing with King Lemuel, which his mother taught him. So you have a king, and this king is being taught by his mother on how to find a good woman, how to find a good wife. But within this, there are some good traits for moms and for women and for men. So let's just take a look at it, beginning in verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies," or jewels, or however you want to translate the Hebrew word there. "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." I think the first virtue or principle that you could pull out of this text here, what is verses 10 through 12 talking about? It's talking about trust, but the bedrock to trust there is integrity, is what it is. This woman that he is to find is a woman that is a woman of integrity. Now, what do we mean when we say integrity? Well, by the word integrity, what we're talking about is someone that does what is morally upright at all times, even when other people aren't looking. It's the same phrase that we use quite often, to do the right thing or to do what is right. And you can see in this relationship, it says in verse 11, "The heart of her husband safely trust her, for he will have no lack of gain. What that means is he knows that his wife is an honest, virtuous person, even when he's not there. He can trust her. He can trust her when he leaves to go to work, because he knows that his wife is going to do what is right. He doesn't have the jealousy or the suspicions or worries. He rests upon her in their relationship. And what you see here is you see the two people, the woman and the man, as a picture of how God designed marriage to be. God designed marriage to be a partnership or a relationship here. And one of the bedrocks of that relationship is the ability of that man to trust the wife. Likewise, for the wife to trust the man. Trust is very important in a relationship. And trust is something that's earned, and trust is something that it's built, and trust is something that can be lost very simply, very easily in a relationship. But I see the bedrock of this relationship is trust. Now look what it says there. It says, so he will have no lack of gain. The idea there is he trusts his wife, and when he's not there, she's not going to blow all the money. He's not going to lose what he has gained. He's not going to have a lack of gain as a result of what she's done. She is a trustworthy partner in the relationship that they have. In addition to that, she does good. Look at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What that is a picture of is that she is contributing to him, or if you will, she has his best interest at heart. That's the key to marriage right there. There's a lot of keys, but let me tell you, one of the biggest keys in marriage that there is to realize what is the relationship there. The relationship is man and a woman joined together before God, and they give 100% to the relationship. The man gives to the wife gives to the man. That's what marriage is. Marriage is giving to the other. It's a ministry opportunity. It's where the man is to minister to the wife is to minister to the man. Versus the world's view of marriage, and the world's view is, am I satisfied in this relationship? Is my partner satisfying me? See, that's completely opposite of the Bible. The Bible is, am I satisfying my partner? Am I doing enough for her? Am I doing enough for him? Am I pouring myself out in service? And as far as the man is concerned, am I loving my wife as Christ loved the church? And the wife's concern is, am I respecting him for the position he has in this relationship? See, it's both sides not looking to see what they can get, but seeing what they can put into it. And that's what she does. She does him good and not evil. See, she's giving into him is the idea. But that flips. That isn't just the women. It's not just the woman's role to give to the man. It's the man's role to give to the woman. And that is the mutual relationship. Paul put it like this. When he talks about it in Ephesians 5, he says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. The idea there is we come into that relationship and both sides work to the middle to produce God's picture of marriage. What is God's picture of marriage? God's picture of marriage is Adam and Eve in the garden, and God brings Eve to Adam and says, Adam, this is your helpmate. This is the one that will make you complete. This is your completer. And he says, and the two will become one flesh. God's idea in marriage is man and a woman coming together to have a united front is the idea. They are God's representative. They are a picture of Christ in the church, if you will. Ephesians 5 tells us that's what it's a picture of. Marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. And it represents a united front, a cohesive unit that's working together for the kingdom of God. They are partners in life to glorify God. That's what marriage is all about. That's a way, way different view than what the world looks at. The world looks at it, that it's what you can get out of that relationship. And if you're not fulfilled, you need to find something in life that's fulfilling to you. Folks, that's the essence of sin. The essence of sin is self. What am I getting out of this deal? The essence of Christianity is, what can I do to better serve my partner? What can I do to better complement them, to help their life, to enhance their life? That's the biblical model to be concerned with. But the bedrock fundamental truth in those passages is that trust, and that trust is able to be there because of integrity, honesty, openness in a relationship. What's the next trait? Well, it's a pretty lengthy area we got to cover. We're going to look at verses 13 through 19. So let me read it, then we'll go back and look at it. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. And then look up there at verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchant. That's a lot of stuff there. What is the principle? The principle is, work your wife like a slave. No, I'm sorry. The principle in that passage is, don't get caught up in the cultural aspect of what they're saying here. This, I don't see this so much as a literal passage. You understand? I mean, you look at what this woman's doing. She's seeking wool and flax. She's bringing food from afar. She rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. There's a clue right there. This is a king's house. And in this king's house, they have a big group of servants and such in that house. So what is the principle for this passage of Scripture from verses 13 through 19? I see the principle is this. She's not lazy. That's the bottom line. I don't think you can. A lot of this stuff is cultural that she's doing. For example, sewing clothes, gathering this linen, stuff like this, things that in our society we don't do. But the principle behind it is, she is an energetic person. She's not lazy. She's not idle. She doesn't just sit around. Matter of fact, as you work your way through the text and you get down to verse 27, it says she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I think that summarizes what that little section of Scripture is saying. She's a woman of integrity, but she's also energetic, not lazy, and she sets an example, okay, for her children that she is not lazy. She is doing her part in the relationship. She's doing her part in that family. And she's frugal. I think that's another principle that you could pull out of that. You look at all the stuff she does, bartering and selling and doing all this stuff. She's trying to find the best thing for her family. The idea is, she's not lazy, and she has the well-being of her family foremost in her life. That's the idea. That's the principle you want to bring from it, is that in a marriage relationship, both husband and wife are working together. They're working together and they're striving for a common goal. And what is that common goal? To bring glory to God is the idea. That's the common goal in marriage. That is the purpose of marriage. It's to glorify God. It's so that a man and a woman come together, they work in a solid unit where the Lord is the head of that relationship. And the goal and the purpose is to bring glory to God in what we're doing here. So she's doing her part, he does his part. She's energetic, she's not lazy in her dealings with her family. Look at something else about her. She is an unselfish woman. Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. That means she goes outside of her home, outside of her family, and she's ministering to the needs of those that have legitimate needs. You understand? The poor and the needy. Jesus said the poor are going to be with us always. Now, you've got to be able to discern who is poor. Some people out there that don't have anything are just lazy. And you've got to discern between the two. Truly a poor person is someone that's working, they're striving, they're doing what they can do with their life, but they just don't have the resources just because of the nature of the job or where they may be or whatever. You run across poor people all the time. And what does this lady do? She is unselfish and she's willing to help them in what she does. She reaches her hand out to them and she is not selfish. But there's something else about her. She also has a good reputation. Look at it in verses 22 and 23. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the city. Now, how is her husband known? I take it that her husband is known because of the godly example of his wife back at home. In other words, her testimony enhances his life, is the idea. She builds him up. She does him no evil. She does him good. She's working and striving to do what? To see that he is in a position of elevation. That's the whole idea behind marriage. I counsel people all the time in marriage, premarital, especially this time of the year. You know what I tell them? I tell them, just remember this in your relationship. Your purpose in a relationship is to, I tell the guys this, is to elevate your wife and to extol her good qualities, to put those out front. And the purpose of the wife is to elevate that man and praise his good qualities. You should always seek to present the best side of the person that you're in a relationship with. I said, don't ever go out there and drag out the bad stuff that your husband does or the bad stuff that your wife does. I said, because y'all will get over it. Y'all eventually going to make up. You're not going to be mad at each other anymore. But I said, those people you tell it to, they'll hang on to it. They'll remember it. Especially if you go tell it to family members. I said, they'll never forget it. Or some of them won't. Some of them will hold it against you forever. Well, I remember 36 years ago. Seriously. But that's how some people are. So when it says she makes tapestry for herself, her clothing is fine linen purple, this is the wife of a king. But you know what she does? She makes sure that she takes care of her beauty for her husband. That's the way I view that. And the rest of the guys are like, you know, if you put this in a modern day, what does this mean? Her husband is known in the gates of the city. The gates of the city is where the leaders of the city were, okay? The people of authority or the people of recognition. And the deal there is her husband is known. Known for what? I take it that we've been talking about this woman, so I'm saying that her husband is known because he's got a woman that every guy in town would like to have. That's the way I look at that passage. They look into him and are like, man, you are really blessed with what you have. He sits among the elders. He's known in the gates of the city. In other words, he's in a position of prominence. And part of the reason he is he has a godly woman behind him. He has a godly woman supporting him. He trusts her. He believes in her. She is a woman of energy. She's not lazy. She's unselfish. She takes care of herself. She doesn't neglect herself. And she's presented herself in a good manner. And he's blessed as a result of that. Then you start really cutting into it. Look at this right here, verse 25. Strength and honor. Literally, that means strength and dignity are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I take it here, she is a person of dignity, compassion, and kindness. It's all summed up in this passage right here. She is a woman that is soft-spoken, if I could put it like that. What do I mean by soft-spoken? I mean she's not harsh, she's not brass, she's not rude or ugly or boisterous. When I read a passage like that, I think of what would be the opposite of that? I think of someone like Roseanne Barr, an ungodly, wicked, just filthy mouth, just wretched kind of a person. That's the first one that comes to my mind. You may have some other one. I'd like to hear about it at the end of the service so I can have another illustration. But, I mean, to me, when I think of her, that's what I think of. I read the Proverbs about relationships like that and how what that does in a relationship, how it just destroys that relationship. But look at this woman here. It says she opens her mouth with wisdom. That Hebrew word there that is used in this text here, especially related to the word kindness. That is a loaded word. You can bracket that word. It says on her tongue is the law of kindness. That word in the Hebrew carries with it loving kindness, grace, and mercy. That's what she is. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is loving kindness, grace, and mercy. In other words, she's a graceful, dignified, honorable woman is what she is. She speaks softly, she speaks kindly, and when she speaks, the wisdom of God comes forth from her. She's not boisterous and clamorous and needing attention. See, that's the view that the world gives us of what a woman should be today. And yet the Bible provides us an illustration that's completely different. The Bible provides us an illustration where the two are to come together and be one, is the idea. It's not the man out doing his thing and the woman out doing her thing, and they come home and they battle to see who's going to be the head. It's the woman doing for the man, it's the man doing for the woman, so that they provide a cohesive, bonded unit of harmony. That's the idea. And when you can pull that off with two sinful people in the same house, brother, you have accomplished something. That it takes work. That's the idea behind marriage. Marriage is something that both sides have to work at continually in that relationship. Continually. Because the way our world looks at it, if it don't work out, just chunk it and start over. But what does the Bible say? They work together, they strive together, and she is a godly, kind spoken, gentle person. And look at the result of it, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her well. What does that tell you? In this home, this Proverbs 31 home, these children are learning some important lessons. They're learning trust because my mom has integrity. They're learning, I'm not going to be idle. Idleness should not be a part of my life. I should be constantly working to do something, to not be an idle person, to not be selfish in my approach to life, to take care of my body, take care of myself, take care of what God's given me, and to be a person of character. That's what they're teaching here. That's what's coming across. And this husband and wife work as a team to bring this about. And it is a beautiful reflection upon how that woman should be. But the most important thing in this whole passage is what's coming up. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. How does he praise her? Well, he addresses her here in verse 29. He says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. See, when you get to the bottom line here, what is it that's most important in this thing? Saves the best for last. And what is that? A woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. See, her priority in life is that she wants God to be first in that relationship. She has a godly perspective on life. That's counter to a selfish perspective. You understand that? That's what the world promotes in a marriage relationship. What the Bible promotes is honoring God and glorifying God in this relationship. Now, when you reflect upon all this is what's said here, and then you compare it to your mother, let me tell you something. Your mother will fall short in some areas. And if you're a mother, let me tell you, you will fall short in some areas. You know why? Because we're all human. And every mother out there is human. And every mother out there is going to make mistakes. I just this week counseled a woman. Does not go to this church. Does not even live in this area. So you don't have to be sitting there thinking, I wonder who he's talking about. You don't have a clue who I'm talking about. But I talked to her, and she called me up and said, can I meet you? I need to talk about something. So I said, okay. And it's one of these deals, one of these cycle deals. Every time Mother's Day comes around, what does she do? She starts thinking about her mom, and she starts telling me some stuff about her mom. She said, I remember when I was 12, and my mama did this to me because I'd said a dirty word. And she goes through this whole list. I said, how old are you now? And she said she is 54, so she's probably 60. And so I'm sitting there doing the math in my head. I'm like, okay, you're 12. So what you're telling me is this was probably 40 to 50 years ago, and it's still bothering you. I said, let me give you some good advice in life. This is how I want to be treated. I want people to forgive the bad and remember the good. And I said, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I said, don't you want people to do that with you, forgive you what you've done that is bad and remember the good that you've done? She said, well, yeah, that's what I want. I said, then you need to do that. I said, understand, moms make mistakes, dads make mistakes. People are people, they are human beings, and every one of them is fallen. Every one of them is in need of the grace of God. I said, instead of reflecting upon some 40-year-old thing that happened, I said, why don't you bring up some of the good things? Well, there was nothing good. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, having dealt with the criminal justice system for 31, I know what a bad mother is. And I said, trust me, you did not have a bad mother. Trust me, you had a good mother. You had a mother that was human and made mistakes, but you had a good mother. Your mother loved you. Your mother cared for you. And I said, in her mind, she was doing what was best for you. You know why? Because she loved you. That's the idea behind it. But that's the truth in life, folks. In order to get through life, you got to learn to forgive and move on with life. You can't sit there and harbor and hold things against people forever. And when I look on this, I see a good framework for a godly mother. I see a good framework for a godly man. The character in here is a woman, but the traits are universal. The traits would fit a man or a woman. And they are the perfect traits to have in a marriage relationship. Trust or integrity, if you will. No idleness in that relationship. Unselfishness. Takes care of themselves for the benefit of the other. A character and a tongue that brings forth kindness, grace, and mercy in speech. And then a person that is focused upon the Lord. You couldn't get a better guideline for a person to live by. And folks, let me tell you something. That's one of the biggest needs in our nation today. Because the biggest problems our nation faces today is directly related to moral issues. That's where our problems are. Our problems in this country is a lack of morality. And what we need is we need godly mothers and fathers to bring up a generation of godly children that can face up and turn the tide in this country. The biggest need we have in this country, folks, is not for so-and-so to win in an election. It's for the United States of America to have a revival. A revival in the heart. A true God-sent revival. But we all have that responsibility to bring up that next generation in a godly manner. And I'm going to tell you what, this example laid out here is an example of a godly woman. A godly woman. A woman that anyone would be proud of. You got to love those last few verses, man, about charm and beauty, about how they fade and they pass on. They say what really matters is be a person of character. Be a person of character and value that has a view to life to glorify God, and you'll have a good life. That's what the Proverbs teach us. You do this, this, and this, and the benefits are going to come back for you. Note what it says else about that wife. It says that she has a joyful view of the future. Just go look at it real quick there. And I closed my Bible too quick. Let me go back and read it to you. He said, no, you didn't, preacher. You closed it just about right. Let me read this to you. When you look and you follow the teaching of her through the passage here, and you get down in here, it says in that 25th verse, it says, strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. That ties right into her being a woman that fears the Lord. See, the idea of rejoicing in the time to come means that she has a positive outlook on the future. And how does she have a positive outlook on the future? Because she understands that her life is in the hands of the Lord. See, when you understand that the Lord is in control, even though things look chaotic, you can have a happy view to the future. Because you say, boy, it looks bad, but I do know this, that there is a God that is in control of everything that's going on around me. And no matter what goes on around me, I can rest in the fact that God is there and I'm in the hands of God. That provides stability. And that provides this woman in this story here the ability to look to the future and say, God is good. Things are going to be good. Things are going to be right because God's in control. And what is she doing the whole time? She's doing her part to be a godly woman. That's the biblical guideline for a godly mother. Biblical guideline for a godly person. Doesn't matter whether you're a mother or a male in here this morning. It doesn't matter. Or a child. Those are good principles to have in your life. Because we need godly mothers in this country. And we need godly fathers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the blessing that they are. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that they've made for us in so many areas and so many times, just when we were babies, getting up and taking care of us when we needed to be taken care of. And then, Lord, for other women, not even our mothers, but those that sowed into our lives, Lord, things of value, things of purpose, and things are worth. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for you have truly blessed us. We're grateful to you. Father, might every mother here today be blessed as they leave here, spend time with their family. Lord, we do pray. We thank you, God, for all you've done. And we ask and pray this in Christ's name, Lord. Amen.